It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm really glad you're here today. We've got a fun conversation talking about income, which is an important topic that we frequently talk about on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Our guest is the founder and the principal of Next Level Income. He's been investing and managing real estate for over 20 years. And while he was still a college student, he bought his first rental property at age 21. And from there, he expanded into development, into private lending, into buying distressed debt, commercial offices, and ultimately syndicating commercial properties. And he started doing that in 2016, been actively involved in over $1 billion of real estate acquisitions. He's passionate about helping investors become financially independent. That's why we're all here. So let's welcome to the show, Chris Larson. Hey, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Great to be here. Good to see you.
One of the things that I think is so important for us as investors is to realize that there are many different ways to invest, right? I don't have all the answers. I think I have a big part of the answer with my cash flow machine, but yeah. There's people like you that talk about real estate. And my dad was a big real estate guy. He filled me with this curse where I can't drive by like a dilapidated piece of property and not want to buy it and fix it up and flip it. So that's a curse. But you know, that's important, you know, is having a diversified set of assets. And so you're here to talk about a variety of things today. So let's start talking. How'd you get started and where are you today?
Yeah. So Mark, thank you very much for that. I started in the stock market in college. Cool. I went to school for engineering, specifically biomechanical engineering at Virginia Tech. But I got interested through the introduction of a family friend in the stock market during my kind of sophomore, junior year in college. And I had this Money Magazine article, and it showed how if you invested $1,000 a month into like a Roth IRA or something like that, you could be a millionaire by the time you were 65, just by virtue of compound interest and the averages that the stock market produced. So I started learning about the stock market, started learning how to day trade. And as a junior in college, I was making about $5,000 a month day trading. So but as anybody that's been in that space knows, you know, that's not really passive income. And I wanted to be financially independent. And it dawned on me one morning at about 3 a.m. as I lay there another sleepless night thinking about like, what am I going to do, you know, with these trades? And my mind wouldn't stop. And I said, there's gotta be a better way. So I continued down this financial education journey. I read over 250 books on the subject, finances, stocks, business, real estate, got an MBA in finance, actually in portfolio management, as you and I were briefly talking before the show. And I decided for me, my path to financial independence was going to be real estate. I'm a risk averse individual, and I like the idea of being able to control the value of something, have cash flow, have tax benefits. So I bought my first property at age 21, and I started from there just buying and managing my own small portfolio. We expanded into commercial real estate about a decade ago. And, you know, as I've learned kind of as talking to high net worth, ultra high net worth individuals, and, you know, centimillionaires, even up into the billionaire range, you know, you start to learn the secrets of not just the rich, but the ultra rich. And that's what we try to mirror and teach at Next Level Income.
I love it. Well, you brought up one key phrase in there that I want to expand on, because you mentioned passive income. Is there really such a thing?
Great question. I think it's a scale, right? It's like black and white. It's like black, white, gray. Where are we? And I think the important thing as a quote unquote passive investor is you still need to understand what your money's doing. So even if you're a quote unquote passive investor with like our group, for instance, where we GP deals, so investors come in as limited partners, you know, they're passive, right? But they should still understand what we're doing with their money. You know, it really frustrates me when people say, oh, I have my money with this financial advisor. I'm not really sure what they do with it, but, you know, they've made me money. It's like, well, have they made you money? Are they just investing in index funds? What is that? So I say passive income is income. And this could be from a business. It could be from the stock market. It could be from real estate. But if you can walk away for a year and your income continues to come in, that's my definition of passive income.
Yeah. And I think we agree on that. So often people call real estate passive income, but some of the real estate that I've had and some that I still currently have
is not so darn passive. Like, you know, there was a time where I would have to change, you know, toilet flapper valves, and I still sometimes do, you know, on the weekends, right?
Vaseline's a great trick for that if you don't have a new one on hand, right? You just like
say what? I'm sorry.
Vaseline's a great trick for that. You stick it on the bottom of that valve. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's, and even my cash flow machine program, well, I call it semi-passive income because, you know, every week you got to do something in the stock market. You have to roll your calls. Now, we like to say it's 20 minutes to an hour a week to do it. But it's, you know, passive income is like you said, I like that definition. I may steal it where you walk away from a year and you have income that comes in without you having to do anything. And I find that to be fairly rare, but maybe in certainly in real estate syndications, as a GP, sorry, as a limited partner, you have that ability, right?
You do, but you know, something just popped into my head as you said that. So let's say you sail around the world for a year and you're invested in a quote unquote, you know, passive real estate deal, and that deal sells.
Yeah.
And it's 6 months into your year around the world. You have to decide what to do with that money. Now we'll send you, if we don't hear from you, we'll send the money to the account that we have on file and you'll have that money waiting in your account, but it's probably not producing income at that point. So again, even passive deals, and we hear this, we say, hey, we're going to have this deal for this property for 5 years and we'll sell it at 2 or 3 years at, you know, above average or above projected returns, and investors will be frustrated. They're like, Chris, what do I do with my money now?
Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, it creates a problem on both ends. So I, to your point, Mark, I don't think really anything is truly passive, and it shouldn't be truly passive because you should be actively involved, at least at a minimum, in the understanding of your strategy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Chris, because I can tell you at the beginning of, well, let's just look at me or you, maybe, for example. A lot of people are similar. They work really hard. They exchange their time for money. Then they realize that they have a little, hopefully they've been saving up a little extra money, and that money goes into an investment. And as you age, what you should be doing is realizing that you should, you know, we don't have the energy we had when we were in our 20s and 30s now. So we should be working a little bit less hard. And maybe our money should be working more hard, and we still shouldn't give up any income. And when it comes time to not working at all, that income should take the place. And then we become stewards of our money. That's our new job, right? It's not that hard. It uses a lot of brain power. So we need to make sure that we understand money, and we're not taught money in school. So we have to learn money, you know, by reading books from people like you and me and, you know, Kiyosaki and all the other people that write great financial books, right?
Absolutely. And that's, look, I think this is, you know, what we're talking about. It's a symptom of kind of a bigger problem in society. And that symptom or the problem is somebody else will take care of this for me. Yep. And look, you can probably listen to me and you can create your own idea of where I stand politically. But if you trust someone else to do something for you or to solve a problem for you, I think that's detrimental. I think you need to understand, you know, how things work, where things come from, and have, whether it's your health, right? If you say, hey, the doctor's going to take care of me. And look, I spent 18 years in the medical device industry. I spent thousands and thousands of hours inside of hospitals, inside of ORs, you know, seeing patients cared for. And the fact of the matter is a lot of medical intervention can be prevented by taking care of yourself on the front end. So if you take basic measures to take care of yourself, right? If you eat the right foods, if you exercise, if you do some strength training, if you, you know, have some stress mitigation things, if you get the right amount of sleep, you know, you take some, you know, some basic vitamins and supplements, these things go a long way towards increasing your life expectancy, but really, you know, not just your longevity, but also your health span, not just your lifespan, but your health span, right? Sure. How healthy you are. And the same issues that plague our healthcare system, plague our financial world. You just said it, Mark. We do not teach our children or even our adults about the financial world. It's a different language. And it's not that hard to understand, right? But if we understand compound interest, if we understand, you know, how a stock is valued, how there's different ways to trade and own stocks, as you teach your students, right? There are different ways to make money. There are different ways to make money in the real estate world. And if you understand, as Robert Kiyosaki has done such a great job of illustrating and educating individuals, that there's ways to think about it and ways to operate in this world, not only will you have more control over your financial world, but you'll have more security in your financial world, and you'll feel better. And I tell people, you know, anxiety, if you say, hey, I just did a talk at my friend's wealth event here in Asheville weekend before last. And, you know, I'm asking people like, who's financially independent? Who's this? Well, the financial world teaches accumulation theory, right? We're going to grow this amount of wealth, and then you're going to spend it at the quote unquote safe withdrawal rate. What is that? I talk about this in my book. Is it 3%? Is it 4%? Is it 5%? No one knows, because the safe withdrawal rate predicts within a 90% confidence interval that you're not going to run out of money. Well, if you tell me, hey, I'm 90% sure this plane isn't going to crash, I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm not getting onto that plane. Good for you. Okay.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I have a saying here. And if you listen to my podcast more than once, you hear me saying, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. And love so it. Many people, what they do is they go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm sorry, you got 6 months to live. And, you know, 5 months and 29 days, they drop dead. And if they just maybe there are other people that go to another doctor and he says, yeah, we're just going to do this. We're going to do that. Or we're going to focus on being less stressed and more happy. And they might have lived 10, 15 or 20 more years. You know, we've all known those stories. So the same thing happens in our finances. We get an inheritance. We get a chunk of money. We don't educate ourselves. So we trust some salesperson on Wall Street. We go, here, you know, do your magic, right? And we expect that person who's really been trained in sales, not portfolio management, right? Yeah. How many stockbrokers do you know that are trained in portfolio management? I know zero.
We're financially independent for that matter.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That the reason they're called stockbrokers is because they're broker than you, right? So you've got to watch out who you get your advice from. And it's really critical. Okay. So cool. Now let's get a little bit more granular. You have a wide variety of different real estate investments, from what I understand. Let's talk about some of the cool ones, some of the sexy ones, and get into them and see what's cool about them. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, author of this book on Covered Calls, here to tell you about my cash flow machine trading program that's designed to show you how I make safe, reliable income. Now, I shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income in my portfolio, and we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of it is that it only takes me about 20 minutes a week, maybe to an hour, to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month may not sound like much, I show you exactly how I took my IRA from $111,000 to over $700,000 in just 23 months without huge risk. Yes, I got a little lucky, I gotta say. But I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io, or better yet, go to this link to get access to videos and masterclasses that explain the entire process, the risks and rewards even more. See you there. Let's talk about some of the cool ones, some of the sexy ones.
Yeah, so I'm glad you phrase it well, because I'd like to say the type of real estate we do is sexy like Warren Buffett's sexy. Like it's not real exciting, you know. So I got started in the multifamily space, and I'll if you're listening today, I'll share how you can get a copy of my book. We talk about the value add strategy in multifamily. But kind of from a high level, Mark, what we do is it's a little different than buying a fixer upper. But it's also similar. So we buy businesses, we buy pieces of real estate like apartments, and we improve them. We improve the operations. So we lower the operational costs. We improve revenues, which is typically a variation of investing in the property. So if you invest $10,000 per unit in an apartment, you can typically raise rents.
I'm buying that if you can find that.
There you go. Yeah. If you can't put $10,000 into a unit and improve the rents in that unit, you probably shouldn't be investing that money in that unit. So, you know, unless your rents, you know, anyway, I can't even think of a good situation there. So apartments are pretty boring. You know, they're, you know, people need a place to live. You know, there's sexier ones. There's luxury apartments. There's class A, there's class B, there's class C, you know, as you go down the line. And some are more interesting. I can tell you stories about residents that aren't so well behaved and, you know, with, you know, crime and these different things. And those stories are kind of fun to tell at a cocktail party, but I'll tell you what, they're not fun when you're owning and operating
that's
the property.
Sure.
On the other end of the spectrum, we do things like express tunnel car washes. Now, this, I want to be careful because we focus on real estate and typically real estate syndications and car washes. While they are real estate flavored, we own the property, we own the buildings, we own the equipment. It's more of a business. Okay. Yes. And some people, I like to call it operating real estate. And these would be things like car washes, short-term rentals, senior housing, like assisted living facilities, where it's not going to be successful if you don't have a successful operation. Okay. Yep. And we got into the car wash space a couple of years ago. I actually almost bought a car wash with my uncle about 8 years back. I've had coaching clients with car washes. I'm familiar with the space, familiar with the different things. I actually own an in bay automatic car wash here in Asheville, North Carolina, which is kind of smaller compared to the express tunnels. The express tunnels are going to be the longer tunnels. You pull your car in and a conveyor belt pulls it through. Right. Okay. The in-bay automatics, you pull your car in, you park it, and then basically a robot washes your car. And there's self-serve bays where you pull in and you wash your car yourself. Those are kind of the three main categories. Now, why do I think express tunnel car washes are quote unquote sexy? Well, they have high cash flow. So they have great operating margins. You can employ a similar value added strategy that we do in the multifamily space. So we can come in, we can lower operational costs through our national contracts, through some of the efficiencies that we apply. We can also increase revenues. We put a sales associate in each location because these are membership driven models. So some people that are listening probably shaking their heads up and down and say, oh yeah, I have a membership. Mark, 75% of people have someone else wash their car for them. 75%. Now, typically when I'm in front of an audience, I see more like 95% of people raise their hands. So I think there's, you know, it depends. As you become more affluent, you're probably more likely to realize that, hey, it's better for me to pay someone else to wash my car than spend my time doing it. Also, this may be surprising to some people. It's a lot like washing your dishes. You're better for the environment, or it's better for the environment if you go to one of these car washes, because we reclaim water, we pull off the chemicals and, sure, and put them in a catchment system, you know, whereas if you're doing it at home, you're probably not doing that. It's probably just going down your drain unless you have a gray water system incorporated into your driveway. And we're kind of like, we want to be, now maybe this isn't the sexiest restaurant you can imagine, but Chick-fil-A. Think about Chick-fil-A. So we have a great restaurant here in Asheville, and the sandwich, the chicken sandwich, it's hot. It's got pimento cheese on it. It's also $15. And if you go there and you sit down and eat it, you're going to pay tip and you're probably going to have a beer or a drink with it. So, you know, if you get out of there for $30, you're doing pretty good. All right. For a chicken sandwich and a drink. Whereas I can go to Chick-fil-A and spend, you know, $5 on a chicken sandwich. Now, is it as good? No, but I don't go to Chick-fil-A because I want to get the best chicken sandwich. I want to go to Chick-fil-A because it's consistent, it's got good value, and it's quick. And I really like the staff there. They're nice. They're polite. You know, you got these high school and college kids typically that are there. They're well-dressed. Yep. They're well-spoken. We want to be like a similar model, because when you go to wash your car in Express Tunnel Wash, you know, you can pay somebody $200 to detail your car and get a better job. But for $5, you know, or $1 a day membership fee that we tip is about what we charge, you know, $20 to $40 a month, you can get in and out in 5 minutes. You can feel good. You get a good quality, consistent wash. And that's what people are looking for when they come to these. Now, this is the sexy part. High cash flow, you know, consistency, all those things are good, but we're acquiring these around an 8x multiple of EBITDA from smaller owners, mom and pops that own four or less locations. Yep. But private equity groups, larger operators will buy portfolios, large portfolios, 50 plus locations at a 12x or even up to a 20x multiple of EBITDA. So if you can own and operate a portfolio, we're up to about 30 locations. You can package them together and sell them as a portfolio with that recurring monthly revenue that you get from the monthly memberships. You can do very well in this space.
Wow. So it's an arbitrage play on a small to large roll-up strategy, which makes a lot of sense in a lot of different businesses. So what kind of ROIs are available these days? Because I can tell you what I'm getting questions about, and I'll give you an answer first, and then I want to ask your opinion. And that is, you know, Mark, banks are paying 5% now on CDs. Like, this was unheard of 5 years ago, right? 5 years ago, it was, you were lucky to get a half or a percent on a year-long CD. And now they're paying 5%. What most people don't realize with the question, because we're in uncharted territory for at least for the last 15 years, is that if you're getting 5% on a CD, you should be getting triple or quadruple on a risk risk-oriented asset, right?
Yep.
Stock market or real estate or whatever. So there are, you know, when back when you were getting 2% on a CD and the stock market was, you know, getting you 10 or 15%, you could see that was a much higher deal. So obviously real estate has to compete with that. So how are you finding it these days in your investments? How are the ROIs in those different types of things, apartments, car washes or whatever?
Yes, a great question. So, you know, you should have different expectations based upon both risk as well as liquidity. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned a lot about risk when people saw banks failing here in the past year, right? Yep. Like, quote unquote, risk-free is not risk-free. Oh. So, and there's also opportunity costs. So I personally use things like cash value life insurance to store my cash because I think it's safer than banks. I also get a guaranteed rate of return that's higher than what I get in the bank. So I really like that, which that's not a real estate play, but that's where I personally keep a lot of my cash. We have a debt fund where we pay 8%. That's a semi-liquid fund. So you can get your money back within 90 days with that. So that's fairly liquid. There's also no upside with that. So you get your flat 8% and that's it. Now, every deal is different. So if you go into a multifamily deal, you know, today, multifamily deals out there, you know, mid single digit cash flows on an annualized basis is typically what I'm seeing with low to mid teen returns for higher quality, like institutional type assets. Hmm. You know, that's kind of a good estimate or a good range for multifamily and, you know, institutional quality self-storage assets. Now, here's the issue. If you look at this space 2 years ago and you were looking at a loan to value of 75% on the same asset that today you're getting 55% loan to value,
right?
Is that now, and your returns are lower, that's a different risk model, right? Because you have more equity in the deal. So I think it's important because that's something I think I've seen investors miss it. They're like, well, these returns are lower, Chris, than, you know, this deal, but the leverage is different.
Sure.
So you have to be careful and you have to look at that. Whereas the car washes, which, you know, again, this is more of a business play. You're going to see, you know, typically high single digit, sometimes double digit annualized cash returns. And you're going to see high teen, even 20% IRRs in that space. So it's a little different than ROI. You mentioned ROI, but IRR is going to be a little bit more conservative space with that. But in our specific offerings, we're targeting at 20% IRR for investors and high single digit or double digit cash flows for investors in that space.
So what's the play on a car wash? Just curious, is it the land appreciation value? Is it the business appreciation value from the operational efficiencies you gain? Is it both? What is the real upside for the syndicated investor?
Yeah. So you're going to have the cash flow and the long-term appreciation from the business business is going to be valued on the cash flow. Now, I think another important thing is when you look at these returns, you have to say, well, what's your after-tax return?
Right.
And one of the great benefits of real estate is we see depreciation that typically equals or even greatly exceeds your investment. So it's not uncommon for our investors not to pay tax on the returns that they're getting from their investments either.
Not paying tax is a good thing, right?
Well, that's for every investor to decide. I've actually had a handful of investors say, I said, you can delay paying taxes. And I've heard investors say, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm like, you want to pay taxes today? Like guaranteed taxes today or maybe no taxes tomorrow. It's like, I'm like, okay, I don't understand that philosophy because, you know, I would rather delay paying taxes personally and, you know, try to fully utilize the tax code, if you will, and optimize our tax.
It's this thick. There's a lot of opportunity to utilize that tax code to pay less taxes.
I like the way you phrase that, Mark. There's a lot of opportunity within that tax code.
And there's a lot of opportunity for me not to have to cough up money to buy another bomb for some other country, but I digress.
I think if you believe that, you know, your health is in your hands, if you believe that your financial destiny is in your hands, chances are you probably believe that you can steward your dollars towards causes better than other people. And, you know, that may include the government, right?
May or may not include the government. Yeah.
And hey, if you're listening, you disagree, you can write a check to the US Treasury at any time.
Anytime.
I can tell you they will cash it. Yep. So if you don't think you're paying your fair share, write out a check to the US Treasury, write a thank you on there. And I guarantee you they'll cash that check.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be happy to have your money. Okay, so how does somebody get started with you if let's say they've never done, lot of our listeners have done a lot of these deals, but let's say they've never done a deal in some of the spaces that you've been in, or maybe they've never done any real estate at all. How do they get started with you, Chris?
Well, I think it all comes down to, as we mentioned in the beginning, Mark, is education. You should take an active role in understanding the strategy that you have for your investments. So I'd encourage you to go to our website, take a look at our podcast, take a look at our blog, get a free copy of my book. It's called Next Level Income as well.
There it is.
Cool. Yep. If you click on the book link, you will get not only a free download, but if you put your address in, my team will send you a free copy to your home as well. So this is a great place if you want to learn a little bit more about the value add strategy. If you say, that's great, Chris, I want to learn about specific investments and see what you're actually offering, you can click on the invest link, schedule a call with our team, and we can share more about that. And that's really a great place to start. Look through everything, understand like how we look at things, how we do things, you know, don't, and this goes for anybody. You know, if you're looking at any investment, you know, talk to the operator, talk to the person putting the deal together, understand why they do things philosophically, understand how they do things operationally, and make sure you agree with that. If you don't like the state that investment or that piece of real estate's located in, because you don't agree with the politics, if you don't like the people that you're operating with, then if it doesn't feel good, you do not have to do it.
Did you ever play the cash flow game from Kiyosaki?
I have, and I have both cash flow, and I also have cash flow for kids that we play with. We play with our boys. Yes,
one of the best ways that anybody can learn about money. Yeah. I don't really like the end of the game myself, but I love the rat race part, getting out of the rat race and all the stuff that really happens to you. But in that game, for our listeners and viewers, there are two kinds of deals that you can do. There's small deals and large deals. And the small deals are generally, I think, under $12,000 or something like that. And the big deals are like over that. And so I want to ask you, Chris, can people do small deals with you, or is this pretty much you need to be an accredited investor and this is all about big deals?
Very good question. So look, we want to be a resource for everybody that's out there. So if you're early on your journey, again, that's why we have the podcast, we have the book, we have the blog, we have all these resources to help you, number one, make more money, number two, keep more money, and then number three, grow your money. And that's where we're talking about these investments. Typically, our investments start at a $25,000 minimum.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know. And by the way, everybody, if you're listening, this is not an endorsement of what Chris does. He seems like a great guy, but you need to do your homework. And I think he's telling you, hey, look, go do your homework. And also, if you got $25,000 and it's your only $25,000, I don't think you should put it with Chris. And I think he'll probably agree with me. Like, absolutely. I think you need to have it as a part of a diversified portfolio strategy. And you just got to be smart. And part of being smart is taking action, taking control of your financial education. And, Chris may have some great stuff. And that's a part of what you're hopefully putting together for your financial lifestyle. So cool. Hey, what question did I not ask that I should ask?
Yeah. So I think, I kind of brought it up, Mark. You know, it's people, when they look at a deal, investors typically, they flip right to the returns, right? Yes. They say, hey, what are the returns like? And, you ask kind of a variation of that. And I think the first question should be, who am I partnering with, right? Because that's your biggest risk.
Yep.
When it comes to real estate, it's going to be geographic risk. Like, because if you buy in an area that is just dying, right, that people are moving away from in droves, demographics are the lifeblood of real estate typically. You know, those are going to be your customers, your residents, your people that are coming in and having your cars washed, for instance. So geographics, but also operators, because that's your partner if you're looking at one of these deals. So that is the number one thing. You know, what's their track record? What's their history? What's their philosophy? What's their strategy?
Good stuff. All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much. That was really cool. I mean, I've heard about the car wash investment a lot, by the way, but sometimes, you just need to hear it that one next time to really kind of think it's cool and sexy. And I think the bottom line, things that are sexy to me are things that make cash flow, because we can all buy real estate, sit on it, and just watch it. I've got a bunch of vacant land, right? I can go pitch a tent on it or put a picnic, you know, basket on it, but it doesn't make me any cash flow. So real estate, if you're doing it right, should make you some cash flow. In fact, most of your investments should make you cash flow. And there's a role to be played in your portfolio for gold and Bitcoin and some things that are not cash flow. But primarily, if you want to replace your current active income with some more passive or semi-passive income, you've got to be looking for cash flow. And you've got to understand your partners. You got to trust your partners. You got to understand all the risks. So with that, I want to thank you for your time, your wisdom, for being on the Wealth Architect podcast. And for those of you who are listening and viewing, thank you for being here. Remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yagi. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.